Neil Young is our guest today in a conversation recorded the same weekend as he performed two concerts at the Ryman Auditorium in Nashville, with up to 40 people on stage playing the music from his new album Prairie Wind for a forthcoming Jonathan Demme performance film. The album was recorded there in Nashville around the time that Neil suffered a brain aneurysm and underwent subsequent surgery to correct it. I asked him how much the aneurysm played into his thinking in writing and recording the CD.
Well, I think when you have a situation like that, you're in the back of your mind, you're wondering about all kinds of things. And what I was thinking was basically, this is a good time for me to get this music out. You know, I'd already planned on doing a record, and I hadn't written very many songs, but I had enough to start. I had one song, and I had the melody to another song and the chord structure, and so that was enough for me to start. And the album came out, you know, the way the order of the record is on the record is the way I wrote them. It's chronological, and so it just tells its own story. And after, you know, I knew I had the condition when I went in. I found out like a day and a half before I went to Nashville, or even less, I found out that I had this aneurysm. And you know, my doctor was kind of lighthearted about it. He said, "Oh, Neil, you've had this for 100 years. There's nothing to worry about." And then he said, "But it is really big, and we're going to take it out as soon as possible." So it's dangerous, so we have to get rid of it. But don't worry about it. You've had it for a long time.
You mentioned that it happened chronologically, and the first song is a beautiful, beautiful song called The Painter. And I'm sure people are going to ask you about the line, "If you follow every dream, you might get lost," because you're a guy who has shifted from dream to dream, it seems, along the way. Is that a message to yourself in any way?
Well, you know, I think it's just a reflection. I think, you know, some things turn out a little more on course than others. But I think you really have to, when you're making music, you really got to do what feels right, and you got to follow your heart, do what you want to do, or what's the use, why do it if you're not going to do that? I mean, you don't want to follow some textbook.
There's so many images that recur throughout this album. Of course, the prairie is in numerous songs, churches, birds, all of this record, of course, the wind. Things that are important to you, their trains, their cars. There's a little boy fishing. I know you were a fisherman as a kid. Kind of the world that's painted on this, one of the things that struck me is it's not a world that too many of us get to live in too much. It's one that you kind of grew up in, though.
Yeah, it's a great, great place. I was so lucky to grow up in Canada and to grow up on the prairies and to have all of these things happen in these little Canadian towns. And I really was lucky, and it's so I'm thankful for that. And as I look around today, and I remember the things that my grandfather said and the things that he saw, and talking about the birds, you know, blacking out the entire sky so that it got dark on the ground. I mean, there are that many birds. I mean, when was the last time somebody saw that? You know, so I look around and I go, wow, it really is changing, and our leaders, you know, need to realize that, you know, there's something wrong here. We need, you know, if there's anything that can be done to reverse this, we ought to seriously be looking at it before it's too late. But a lot of people today just live in the present tense. It's just like the news and everything in the media. It's all present. It's all about what's happening. And if there isn't anything happening, they'll make something that doesn't mean anything into something big. And just so that something is happening, rather than reflect on the things that are really happening in a subtle way over time. You don't see much reflection on that in the media. You don't see many people focusing on the big, big picture. They're mostly focused on what the next 20 minutes is about, you know. So there's a lot of live happenings going on around the world. And, you know, television and the internet and everything make it possible to follow them all right up to the second. But we're missing the big things. And, you know, so my world has been good to me. I've seen a lot of beautiful things, and I've heard a lot of beautiful stories from my parents and from my family. So I'm just trying to pass some of that on in this record.
One of the songs that has number of members of your family in it, and just paints a beautiful picture as Far From Home. Now, that seems to be more of an Ontario-based song. Was that where that would have taken place?
Well, you know, it happened everywhere. My dad came from the prairies, and he bought me this ukulele, Arthur Godfrey ukulele, a little plastic one, when I was, you know, just in my, you know, single digits there somewhere. And he brought it home to me. It was at the record store, and I used to go there, and I'd been buying, you know, Larry Williams records and Bopalina by Ronnie Self and the Monotones, the Book of Love and stuff like that. I was buying these 45s, and my dad, you know, took me in there once, and I saw this little Arthur Godfrey ukulele that was hanging there, a little plastic one. And I guess I must have mentioned it, because a couple of days later he came along and he had it, and he sang me a song. He tuned it up and he sang. I never heard him sing before, never knew he could play ukulele, never knew he could play an instrument. Never didn't know anything about that, but there he was sitting there singing the song to me, and so that's how I got my start, really.
Well, this is Far From Home, featuring uncles, everybody in the Young family. Talking with Neil Young about the music on Prairie Wind, you touched on this earlier. There's a song that finishes up the disc called "When God Made Me," which is a pretty powerful song. And you started to do this in a bit, but how would you describe your politics? Because there's a populist strain in there, I see. I'm just wondering,
how would I describe my politics with regard to the song "When God Made Me"? Well, I'd describe it this way. I think religion and freedom of religion and people's relationship with God is something that should not be hijacked by any certain political party. And it's also interesting to consider that the founding fathers of this country, there were only a couple of them that were religiously based or God-fearing. And now, in the Bush cabinet, we have almost like 100% Christian. I just think it's out of balance. I respect their religion. I respect the way they feel. I respect everything about the way they want to worship. I respect their right to do whatever they want. But I just want to be respected for my right to have my relationship with God. And I don't want any political party to be accused of not being faith-based, or to be anti-faith because they don't happen to agree with some Christian ethics or some Christian ways of life. Christianity can be respected just like Muslim religions, just like Jewish religion, just like any other religion. Your relationship with God is about your relationship with God. When you go to heaven or wherever you go, it's between you and God. It's not between, it doesn't matter. I could be called a pagan, I suppose. But if you go back far enough, you'll find that pagans really are people who believe in the earth. They're people who believe in the harmony of nature. They're like the Indians. They're like the Great Spirit. They believe in the Great Spirit. And it was the insecurity of Christianity that turned paganism into a negative term. And if you go back to the roots of these things and see where they came from, you know, I respect everyone's right to do whatever they want to do, but I think that this particular administration and in the country at this time, and it's only a temporary thing, I have faith in that, but I think they've just hijacked people's right for freedom of religion, and they've confused the separation of church and state. Prayer meetings in the White House, all the time, you know, all of these things. There's nothing wrong with having a prayer meeting, but obviously there's absolutely nothing wrong with having a prayer meeting. I wouldn't, you know, be against that under any circumstances, but it's a little bit too focused in one place, and it seems to be that you know, Christianity has taken a turn here. Attendance is down in churches. There's a disbelief. It's been hijacked. I feel like something is totally out of whack, and I think we're going to get it back. I think there's going to be a rebound. It's a pendulum. But the way it's going right now, there's just too much of it. You know, I'd like my kids to grow up free, to live the way they want to live, and to worship the way they want to worship without pressure in the United States of America.
Neil, as eloquently stated as that was, the song is even more so. This is When God Made Me.
Was he thinking about my country or the color of my skin? Was he thinking about my religion and the way I worshipped him? Did he create just me in his image, or every living thing? When God
God Made Me, Neil Young from Prairie Wind. The film of Prairie Wind that Jonathan Demme has gotten involved with. What was the origin of that? Did that come from your camp or from Jonathan's?
Jonathan called and said, "I'm taking a year off. What are you doing? Can we do something?" I sent him Prairie Wind, and I said, "This is what I just did." And basically, he heard it, he loved it, and we talked a little bit, and I said, "Why don't you come to Nashville I'm going to be gone, but why don't you come and meet some of these friends of mine? I'll turn you on to some people. And Emmy Lou Harris will take you around. She'll show you the Ryman Auditorium. She'll show you, you know, the country music scene. You'll see that it's alive and well. I want you to just, you know, go to some of these places where people have been going for years and years and learn about the tradition of Nashville and the tradition of American music and the mecca of American music and country music. And you know, learn about this and learn about the way of these people and refresh yourself to this perspective. And he came down here and he just had a great time and he realized what it was that I was kind of aiming him at, and he just ate it up, and he's done a phenomenal job of just recreating. And he studied the Opry, he studied all the old backdrops, he studied everything. He just did such a thorough and beautiful and respectful job of recreating that vibe.
Half of the show is a run-through of the entire Prairie Wind with everybody who played on it coming in at the right moments. It's just absolutely beautiful. And the second half, you kind of had to choose from throughout your career songs that fit. Was that an easy process to pick those?
It was pretty easy. You really didn't spend much time on it. It just flowed, and I made a chronological choice. You know, I went back to Buffalo Springfield and started with an early song, and then every song after that, they were just chronological. And I just picked the ones that were acoustic-based and that mostly shared this Nashville heritage.
One of the songs the night I was there that the crowd particularly grabbed a hold of was Old Man. And you told the story about the Villas who are on your ranch when you got there. Maybe why don't we play that song? Can you tell... you really, this is kind of like getting the liner notes to the song, folks. You really do understand it a whole lot better.
Well, when I first came to what became my ranch, I was very young, maybe 23, I think I was, and I had just really received a lot of money for having a hit record, a couple of hit records in a row. So I had a lot of cash, and when I came, I was looking for a place that was remote, that I could get away from people coming to my house all the time and surrounding, you know, my car and just being in the way and coming up and banging on my door at all hours of the night and day. You know, everything from crazed people to beautiful women, you know, it just was a disturbing chain of events. And so I found this place, and so there was a couple living there, the Avilas, and Louis and Clara, and Louis had a blue Jeep that he used to to service the animals and to move around the ranch, and so he took me for a ride in the blue Jeep, and we were cruising around the ranch and checking it out, and he says, "Well, tell me, you know, how does a young man like yourself have enough money to buy a place like this?" And I said, "Well, just lucky, you know." And he looked at me, and he looked around, and he said, "That's the darndest thing I ever heard."
And here's Old Man.
Old man, take a look at my life.
old man from Neil Young, going back a ways. Speaking of going back a ways, one of the new things that's going to be happening as you've re-signed with Reprise Records is how long have we been waiting for these? The archives are going to start to come out, and I'm curious for you how you're going to do it. I mean, there's Bob Dylan has written his chronicles, and he's not necessarily taken things in strict order. I'm wondering what you're going to do with the archives.
Well, you know, Bob's book is great, and I recommend it to anybody who likes Bob Dylan. I think it's a masterpiece of yarns and combination of his crazy sense of humor, where a lot of time you don't know whether he's pulling your leg or not. You don't know where he's coming from with half of the stuff, just like his songs. But it's phenomenal. Other times you're right there with him, you know, but he spins such a great yarn. But my thing is not a book. My thing is more of a massive discography. So it's chronological. It starts in 1963 with my first recordings. Volume 1 goes from 1963 to 1973. And you get to learn the difference between the songs and the albums, and the way the songs were written and the way the albums came out is a whole other story. And there's a filing cabinet that you can access with the DVD that has all the information on all of the songs, any film, any reviews of the songs when they first came out, the original manuscripts, every piece of memorabilia that's connected in any way to the song is in there. And so it's like a use of the technology of the information age in a way that I think is very deep, and for collectors especially, it's going to be very interesting for them to have all this information. And you know, it's everything that I've been able to find in the last 15 or so years since we started working on this.
I just wanted to ask one more question about sort of Greendale into this new project. You've been really active in doing multimedia things, but also more in getting your work out so people can hear it. I mean, with the Greendale, there was not only the live stage show and plus the CD, plus the DVD and the movie. That's a lot to get that story out, and you really, really worked that. And now you're doing the same thing with this. Is it becoming more important for you to get these things out, or is it just the media environment we're in?
Well, we have all these tools, and if we don't use them, we're just going to be putting out CDs. CDs are practically obsolete. So, you know, if a CD is only a little bit better than an MP3, so if that's all you're going to give people, they really don't have any reason not to download it. But if you give people something that they can't download easily because the quality is just so high, and you give them so much more information and a beautiful package and the whole thing, it's the evolution. People deserve more today. The technology makes it possible. So it's rewarding for me to build these product presentations that really try to tell the story. And there's so many ways to tell it. You know, so this has got more depth than records used to have. And you can actually go to the studio and watch us make it. And there's going to be a documentary that's an hour and a half documentary that shows us rehearsing and learning every part and talking to each other and how we actually built this record from the ground up. And each song grew and to become what it is. And then it reveals the song. And it's wonderful to be able to use this technology that way.
Neil Young, always great to get new music from him in whatever form is to come. That new album, Prairie Wind, is available at our World Cafe CD store on your web browser at worldcafecds.com.